Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And Ellie, I'm really excited. Guess who's on the couch next to us?
Well, I'm looking at her, so I think my guess is going to be a good one. Is it Emma Scott Child?
It is. It's Emma Scott Child.
The Instagram sensation and craft expert.
The very one. And mother of two children. Designer of the coolest bars in London, all of London. And Ellie, she's written a goddamn fucking book.
Oh, hurrah!
I love books and I love her.
Wow. Well, thanks for listening. Until next time.
Buy her book. Oh, Emma, welcome to the Scummy Mummy sofa. We've known Emma for a few years now, and we are overly impressed with her design skills and her drinking skills. We've been out on the lash with you a few times.
Oh, yes.
You came to my 40th birthday party and delivered my house to about 3 a.m. So she's good people, listener. She's good people. But yeah, we're thrilled you're here because you've written this amazing book. Let's tell everyone what it's called. It's called Quick Crafts for Parents Who Think They Hate Craft.
Yeah, so if you're about to turn off, listener, because you hate craft, you haven't touched a Pritt stick since 1984, you can't bear glitter, we feel your pain, but it doesn't have to be that way, Emma, does it?
It doesn't. I'm here to solve your woes, all your craft woes.
All right.
Because it turns out kids quite like a bit of craft, but kids, parents are like, no!
Kids fucking love it.
Yeah.
They love it. And they love getting messy and they love destroying your house and painting your sofa and all of that shit. And what I'm trying to do is to do craft without all the messy stuff. So you can actually get involved with craft and really enjoy it. And everyone has a nice time and you don't just shout at your children the whole way through.
Not just at the end.
Yeah. Or just at the end. I mean, yeah.
Because haven't we not all done that thing where, like, you go, yes, today I shall be, maybe you're like this every day, Emma, probably, but I'm like, today I shall be the crafty mother. Yes, I shall get out the poster paints and the sponges and the brushes and fill the jar with the water and the newspaper and the apron and all the things. And they come over and they pick up a brush and they go, one splodge on the paper and they go, bored now, can I watch TV?
Yeah, or they spin around with the paintbrush and just put a big stripe across the wall or something because they're just flailing their arms around. So, yeah, this is exactly why I made the book, because we lived in a flat that was very small and I bought a really nice sofa for the first time in my life. And I was like, okay, I have to come up with some crafts that don't destroy the house because I really like my house now.
That's right. When crafts go wrong.
Exactly. And also, I want other people to get involved in it because I think it can be really fun. And there's so many things that are valuable about doing craft that we sometimes don't see. And so I want everyone to get involved.
Right. Okay. So minds will be blown. Lives will be changed.
Yeah. So can you give us, we've got a copy of the book here. So can you give us an example? What are some of your favourite quick crafts in the book, Emma?
So we've got one that is basically scrunched up piece of paper. So if you just get a piece of paper and you scrunch it up in a ball and then wrap some tape around it and get some pipe cleaners and you can make some little arms and legs and turn it into a monster. And it doesn't have to be like a perfect kind of Pinteresty gorgeous thing. It's a scrunched up piece of paper. You can put some eyes on it and then kids will come up with a story about what that character is. You can make a whole set of them and then you can have a sort of fun game about, you know, where do they live, what are their names, is this Mr. Snuggle Snatcher, whatever.
Oh, heard that one before. What you do on your own time is your own business. But yeah, look at this. Look, loo roll rockets. Now that looks feasible to me. I've got toilet rolls. I've got, you know, bits of paper lying about. I've got felt tips. I could actually achieve that.
I do love a loo roll. There's a few loo rolls in there. I couldn't do a craft book without making stuff out of loo rolls.
No.
I've got things that will basically take you 5 minutes to make but then the kids will play with them for another couple of hours afterwards. So it's not just about making something and then putting it up on a shelf. It's about making something and then the kids can play and you can go and have a martini or unstack the dishwasher or whatever.
And what's that I hear the listener say? Is it environmentally friendly, Emma?
It certainly is. So all of the stuff in the book is basically stuff that you already have in your house. So I didn't want to make things out of crazy craft equipment that you need to get, like embroidery hoops and, you know, glue guns and stuff like that. It's all just sort of general stuff that you would have, like toilet rolls and wrapping paper and bits of cardboard.
I love that bit with human hair as well. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Nail clippings. I mean, you've thought of everything.
Really nice. Really nice.
Cat litter.
Oh, that's lovely. Just some porridge with some googly eyes. I love it. But yes, excellent. We're getting a bit ahead of ourselves, Ellie Gibson. Should we ask Emma about her family?
All right, then. Go for it. Right. What a smooth segue.
Who are you, Emma Scott Child?
I am Emma Scott Child. I am a creative director. I run a business with my husband.
What?
A wooga! A wooga!
Back up.
Yeah. We run a brand.
Do you make
agency.
Sexy videos on the internet together? Is that what it is?
I mean, that sounds like a lot more fun.
Probably more lucrative.
Yes. And a lot more lucrative, yeah. No, we have a branding agency in Brighton and we design brands for hospitality businesses and also a lot of pet products. A lot of retail stuff. So we come up with not just the sort of logos and look and feel, but also sort of brand strategy and packaging and websites and all that kind of stuff.
What have you done? Tell us about dog food.
Show me your brand.
We've done so many dog foods. We've done, I think, maybe 10 different dog foods, and because there's all different dog owners. So there's like the sort of organic dog owner, and then there's the like techie dog owner, and there's the vegan dog owner.
How do you make food for the techie? Do you put like
you
iPads
really
in it?
Sciencey, and you like to have stats, and you make the packaging all silver.
Oh, I see.
With bar graphs and stuff on it.
Oh, you're
tech
not
dog.
Tech up. Dog.
Is it called tech dog? Well, then they're idiots.
Surely iDog. Yeah. I mean,
that sounds like that a dogging website.
So, what, you know, you said you work with your husband. Why would anyone do that? Why?
I don't know.
She's very tired. You get no break.
It's fucking exhausting.
That's why she's here tonight, listener, just so she doesn't have to see her husband's face.
Yeah, it's nice. We literally sit next to each other 24 hours a day.
How is that?
I mean, I wouldn't recommend it.
Really?
Yeah. No, I mean, I love him very much and he's wonderful. But running a business together is hard. It is really, really difficult because there's very little difference between like looking at each other's work and saying like, oh, I'm not sure about that font, and like, why the fuck did you leave your pants on the floor? It's like the same emotion that you get sort of brought back to you, except you're in an office environment with all of your employees.
You've forgotten to put that font in, plus you forgot to pay the council tax bill. Yeah.
And then is it like rowing in front of the kids? Do you have rows in front of the employees?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Sometimes everyone just ends up sort of looking at their shoes. And it's always over the dumbest thing as well. It will be like over a font or over like a Pantone colour or something really stupid.
Oh, pants or Pantones. It's always something for Emma.
Do you do that kind of gritted teeth like, okay, darling,
okay,
great.
Darling, I love your illustration. No, the thing we've realised is we just don't work on the same projects. So we have separate clients. We have separate teams.
Separate beds.
Yeah.
Separate sexual partners.
Ellie has a separate duvet and she said it changed my life.
I think I've talked about this in the podcast before probably, but it's very big. In Scandinavia, apparently it's quite normal to have separate duvets and even separate mattresses just pushed together.
Nice.
But we just have a massive bed and then a duvet each so we can have our own temperatures.
Temperatures.
You know, everybody's got their own space. It's
fun. Oh, and smell. Yeah. You can just fart underneath. That's nice.
It's a life changer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Maybe we need to introduce that in the studio.
Yeah.
And it is quite good having a business partner who you can talk about things with like at any hour of the day. Yeah. And I probably put up with things from him more than I would with any other business partner. So, it does work and makes things a lot easier to divvy up the, you know, dividends.
Yeah. I know. I'm asking.
I'm really lazy with accounting, basically.
I'm asking all this stuff now because Emma, next week, Ellie and I will go to Edinburgh and we'll be working together and living together every single day for a month. So, so you're saying it's going to be great.
I'm not worried about that, though. No. I'm genuinely not, because for me, it feels like I'm going on a holiday with you.
I know.
And it actually does.
No expectations of sex, which is lovely.
Yeah, that's nice. That keeps things easy.
Yeah. Unless we went to Nepal together for a week, and that was like most days we were sat next to each other in a car for 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I can't speak for you, but I found that perfectly pleasant, partly because I was drinking lager all the time.
Listener, she was asleep a lot of the time.
Sleep a lot, yeah.
And I was having mild panic attacks looking out down to the valleys of death out the side of the window. But no, Ellie Gibson is probably the perfect travel partner. You're very relaxed. She likes a drink. She'll eat anything and piss anywhere.
Piss anywhere, sleep anywhere, eat anything. I'm actually lower maintenance like on holiday than I'm at home. Yeah. Nice. Just like a friendly golden retriever.
I think we're going to be fine, listener.
I think it's going to be good.
So you know, obviously you've done very well with your business. Because
the dog food specifically.
Dog food.
You've absolutely cornered that market.
She's the face of dog food, Ellie.
Yeah.
She's behind the dogs.
Sometimes we design poo bags as well. That's always a good brief to get in the studio. Yeah.
What does one have to think? What are the factors one has to consider when you're designing your poo bag?
You've got to make it look fresh.
The tagline.
Yeah.
Gotta be fresh.
Gotta be fresh. We put some pictures of daisies on there. That's nice.
Makes it like a nice smelling feel.
I'm sure the dogs really appreciate that as well.
Yeah. Not just a picture of a grumpy person with a poo on their shoe going,
Yeah, pop this one in your pocket. No. Yeah. No, that's always a good brief to get in. But yeah, bars. We've done quite a few bars. That's the other
one. Now, what's the fancy one that everyone puts on Instagram?
Tonight Josephine.
Oh.
So that is in Waterloo. And people have probably seen it on Instagram because there's a very famous sign, a neon sign that we did, which says, well-behaved women don't make history. Which I know isn't technically the exact
seldom quote. Makes history, yes.
It's meant to be seldom make history. But I just thought it sounded cooler to say don't make history.
So and it was just cheaper, it. Wasn't it, for the neon?
Yeah, it's just less neon. Less letters. Yeah. So that was fine. Yeah.
But what you described to me when you said, oh, and I designed a bar. And I was like, right, so what you do, you put in some chairs, a bar, some lights and some paint. And you're going, no, Helen, I create a character. Yeah. I make a whole character around the bar.
We looked at, so the bar is in Waterloo. It's in a basement. It used to be the basement of a bike shop. It's very sort of boring kind of spot. And we looked around the space and we went, okay, in this block, there's 12 old man pubs and there's nothing for women. So let's do the exact opposite of what is going on in the area. And because it's Waterloo, we thought a Napoleon and Josephine kind of theme would be quite fun. So we've got
so creative.
The bar upstairs is called Bar Elba, which is based on Napoleon.
Oh, not Idris. What a disappointment. Oh. Not going now. I love the idea of an Idris Elba. It's just pictures of Idris Elba.
It's torsos.
Oh.
So we decided on Josephine and we had a look at her history, and she was this kind of it girl and she was really sassy and she kind of didn't give a fuck and she was just fucking about and having parties and had lots of lovers while Napoleon was off fighting wars and doing all that shit. So we sort of reinvented her as an it girl and thought, what would her cocktail bar look like and how would we create a space that she would hang out in if she was here now. So we made it pink. It's really, really pink and it's really sparkly, and we put some really sassy wallpaper up with sort of feminist slogans and these like feminist neon light boxes and stuff like that. And yeah,
so you've done bars, you've done crafts, you've done books. What's the weirdest thing you ever had to design?
So I've done a couple of weird things. I mean I used to work for Damien Hirst, so shit gets weird. So that was pretty wild. But
what was he like?
He was really nice. Oh. He's really lovely. Like, one-on-one, he's a really nice guy. I think he just wants to be really wacky.
Yeah.
So he wants to have that kind of...
So you like chopping up horses and...
No, I had to design a little model of his Tate exhibition a few years before it happened and make tiny little versions of all of his artworks, and so he could have it in his office and push it around... Like a sort of megalomaniac, like a sort of war room.
Like Winston Churchill,
yeah. With all of his artworks, rearranging them on all
like tiny sharks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's not the weirdest thing. So when I was in Australia, I worked for this publishing company, and we did, Helen, you might remember this magazine called Black and White Magazine.
Ooh. Racy.
It was
racy or racist?
Maybe it could go anywhere in Australia.
Yeah, you never know. No, it was like sexy. It was a very sexy magazine. It was nudes and it was all in black and white. And then you would get
so it was like arty porn.
Arty porn. Yeah. And porn like for Kylie would be on the cover. Party. And all that sort of stuff. And then occasionally we would do these like R-rated special editions that would be like knickers or like cocks or something like that, right? And so I had to design these books and then they had to be rated by the Australian Ratings Board to make sure they were R-rated and not X-rated. Because then they had to, if they were X-rated, they had to be in a plastic bag and all that sort of stuff.
So it's R-rated like 18 in this country?
Yeah, I think so. So you can still sell it in a normal newsagent.
Right.
So this.
So what is the difference between R-rated and X-rated? Because
I mean,
I'm a prude, so I don't know. I barely see my own bush.
The thing was, this lady had to come in and sit with me at my computer and basically just go through every image in the book and make sure it was okay. She was like the woman you would least expect to have this job. She like was like this older lady with a cardigan on who like she looked like she was on the way to like sell cakes at a church. And
she was assessing cocks.
She watched cocks all day. That was her job.
This is what I've always found mad about censorship. This idea that there are a group of elite people who can watch all this stuff and not be corrupted by it, whereas the rest of us absolutely cannot be trusted. Like, hilarious.
So talk us through some of the borderline.
Yeah, what's the criteria? Yeah. What crosses the line?
So if you have a hand that is near an orifice, let's say, right?
Yeah, holes.
Yeah, holes. You have to be able to see the cuticle of the nail.
I mean,
you've heard it here first on the Scummy. It's an exclusive, Ellie.
This is amazing.
Who does? I mean, in or out, do you know what I mean? Like, make your mind up.
She's sitting there, she's like, oh, I don't know, love. I think you can, I mean, this lady here, you can just see the cuticle. I think that's all right. I think, I mean, she's having a lovely time.
See, that's what Australians say. I'm having a lovely time.
She's having a lovely time there. But yes, you can see her cuticle. That one's all right to go through.
Oh my God.
I think it's
her cuticle. It could be a genital wart. It's hard to tell from this angle, but it's fine. I think it's fine.
Wow. So, yeah.
What about penises?
There's a certain angle you can have a penis.
Getting
out the protractor.
Yeah, basically. Oh yeah. If it's above 45 degrees, then it's considered erect.
Is it?
Oh, it's really hard to tell because of angles of photography and all sorts of...
And if someone's holding it?
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's tricky.
Oh, wow. But I've known tricky. In my time, some are 180, some are about... We've all seen...
Some gone off into all strange directions.
Straight forward, like a forklift truck. Wow. You just don't know.
You never know.
Yeah.
Little donk on the end.
Yes.
I've been with someone who looked like... He was like, you know, we're coquettish, like going...
Oh, that sounds quite off-putting.
It was like a hook.
Did it look like it was going to start talking to you?
Like,
I'd find that unnerving.
I'm listening.
Yeah. Oh.
Little listening penis. Oh.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah,
that's a lovely thing. Graphic design.
Yeah. Wow. What a life you've led.
You've been on a journey.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So from porn to children's crafts.
Children's crafts. Yes.
Here we are.
What a lovely segue. Yeah, do you really think it's possible for people who are shit at craft to not be good at it, but at least be competent?
I don't want them to be good at it.
Right.
I don't want them to...
Well then, because there'd be competition for you. You don't want everyone writing
everyone writing a good craft book. No thanks.
No, I don't... this is what I want to stop. I think... because we've had Pinterest come along and make everything look really gorgeous and beautiful, and everyone feels like every birthday party has to have a big one of those tables with a big display behind it, and everything has to be colour-coded and all that kind of stuff.
Can I just interject? I once went to a party in this very house, and Ellie had got a baby bell, and on each baby bell she'd drawn a spider's web.
That involved a Sharpie, which I had in my house,
and mini baby bells.
And literally, just my dad helped me with it. It was actually quite a fun. Yeah. I don't mind that sort of low level craft.
Yeah, there
was glue,
no glitter,
there was no varnish, there was no, you know.
You weren't sculpting it out of baby bells or baby cheeses.
No.
See, that's the sort of thing I would want people to get involved with it and not feel like it has to be perfect. It has to be this big production. It has to be amazing. I think craft can be just really simple, and it's just about being creative and the process of doing something with your kids.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily about coming up with something at the end of it that you want to show everybody and sort of, you know, make into this perfect masterpiece. It doesn't have to be,
but it's interesting because we've gone like so screen based. There has been and you see it, funny enough, on your screens, a resurgence in craft, but not just with kids craft but with adult craft. You're seeing much more kind of your Etsy, you're not on the high street.
Adult craft though makes me think of like pornographic cross stitch.
I'm sure the cuticle shelling.
Oh my god.
I totally agree. And I think the thing for me with creating this book is that online, you know, we have this world now where we just consume and we critique.
Oh, click, click, ASOS.
Click, and it's just, you know, all we do is consume things, we lurk at things, we critique things. How often do we actually create something? And so I want people to sort of take a step back and go, okay, I'm going to create something. It might, you know, it might not be craft. It might be a really good sandwich. It might be like having a go at doing a French braid in your daughter's hair. It might be, you know, just something, or just like trying a different type of makeup. You know, it's just doing something that puts yourself out there. Because so often we are just so quick to criticize people. If we all become creators of some sort, we will start to have more empathy for everyone else who's doing it.
I think that's what you're saying, Emma.
And also we're teaching our kids that it's okay to take a risk to create something, even if you think it's going to turn out shit, just to have a go at it and just to do it for the sake of just having a bit of fun and not take it so seriously. So that's what I want people to do. And then people won't be bullies and cunts and, be nice.
Yeah. And when I've done craft, I've sometimes struggled a bit with that thing of like, I sort of find myself taking over because I actually I'm surprised by how much I'm enjoying it. But then I'm like, but I want it to look like the
picture. You become the art dictator.
So I'm like, no, you need to cut in a 45 degree angle. That's nobody's penis looks like that. Or whatever it is. But how do you sort of stop yourself sort of making it about your aesthetic?
You know what, the thing I found that is actually quite good is you make your own one and the kids make their one, and you just sort of help each other out.
That's it. So good tip. Three toilet rolls, Ellie.
And you just, you know, and you say, oh, I'm gonna give mine curly hair, or I'll, you know what, what are you gonna do with yours? And just
yours looks shit, what are you gonna do?
Do it again.
But let them lead the way. And the thing I've realised as well is people really underestimate kids. They, like, kids that are really shit at scissors, they can actually be really good at scissors if you just let them have a go at it and just sort of take a step back and just see what they do with it. And even if they fuck it up.
Even if they lose a finger. They've had a go.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine now.
It'll grow back.
Oh, no, it won't.
Yeah.
What I really like about your book, because I gave it to my kids last week and they literally got really excited, and you'll see in my book there's like page corners that have gone like, I want to make the super teddy and I want to make this, and I was like, God, I've forgotten, because I did so much, and I think I exhausted myself when they were really little, because my kids are now 8 and 10, and I used to do rice craft where you put some rice in a big tray and then put like, you know, paints and like, let's just be creative, and then I just, it drove me to drink.
Yeah, because it's all that stuff. It's so messy.
It's like
all
so
that,
messy.
The sensory play and all of that stuff. And they get loads of that at nursery and at school, and they do all of that kind of stuff. And I think the reason a lot of people stop doing craft is because they're like, oh, I can't handle it. I don't want to be sweeping up glitter for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
I just want something easy. So what I wanted to do was to take out all of those barriers for parents. So we've taken out anything that takes too long, anything that has tricky materials that are hard to find. So, you know,
no. So you were saying nothing from Hobbycraft. It's all from the pound shop or the supermarket.
Yeah, so I set myself a little rule where I said, okay, I just want to buy everything from the shops near me, basically. So that was the Sainsbury's, WH Smith and the pound shop. And if I can't buy it from those shops, then it's not going in the book. And
where do you live? It sounds great.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
it's
so convenient.
Awesome. Let's move to Brighton.
Move to Hove.
So cool. Move to Catford. We've got three pound shops. It's amazing. Dream.
Pound stretcher, pound land.
But no, I wanted this to be like a cookbook. So if you've got a rainy afternoon and you're sitting there and you might get a cookbook and you're like, all right, we'll make some cupcakes or something. You can open this book and go, okay, we've got all the ingredients to make this puppet right here, you know, under the cupboard in the kitchen. You know, we've got sponges and gloves or whatever it is that we need. So it's just stuff that you already have in your house. It's not random art supplies.
No.
Yeah, but the thing is that there is always someone who's really enthusiastic about craft, and then there's such a stigma about being the crafty person because it sort of goes along with like being a massive dork or, you know, being like a massive overachiever or those sorts of things. And I think what is actually really fun about craft is just doing something with your kids and coming up with some fun stories and some fun things to play with.
Yeah.
So do you still do it with your kids, even though you've done the book and stuff? Because in the 80s, my mum used to work for Usborne Books and she wrote a book called Paper Play, and she did one about Play-Doh, and she did one about, just everything.
Wow.
There was a cooking book and there were Christmas books and maths books and all this stuff. So like, but she always says, like, she used to feel really bad because like I'd be at school and she'd like be like working away in the kitchen, like toilet rolls, paper mache everywhere. And then I'd come in and I'd be like, oh, yay, craft. And she'd be like, well, I've got to clear this away now and cook spaghetti and meatballs. Like, I can't, and I've been doing it for 8 hours. Like, the last thing I want to do is more like...
I have been a bit like that with the kids, actually, especially with the ones that are going in the book. And I've like, because I photographed all the book myself as well, and it was all shot in our house. So there were some things that I was sort of halfway through doing, and then you weren't allowed to move it because if the eyes on it moved, then it wouldn't be have continuity with the next shot and stuff like that. So I did have to be a bit of a fascist with my kids. Like, don't touch the craft!
It's
don't
not
go
for
in
you.
There!
Craft is not for you. It's not for you.
Like peering through the door and seeing this like magical, colourful world of like confetti and tissue paper and like, no! That's not for you!
Well, I feel your children's pain. I mean, don't worry. I've had about 35 years of therapy now and I'm starting to get over it. So
I feel like
fine.
I'm looking into my daughter's future. Seeing
did you
her
not know this is your daughter?
I have not really had craft-based therapy. That was a bit. Just relax.
It's all right. It's fine.
Absolutely
she can't
fine.
Be within 5 metres of sticky tape now.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely.
And I love the quote at the beginning of the book.
Yes.
How you said it was your parents who instilled this creativity.
Yes, they did. So my parents were so crafty.
Yeah.
My mum is was before she retired a high school art teacher. So and the very classic kind as well, in the sort of caftans and big earrings and the works. And my dad worked at the Natural History Museum and he built all of the dioramas in the museum.
Wow.
So he used to build dinosaurs and make latex lizards and all sorts of cool stuff. So I used to go to his workshop and you'd like open a plan drawer and there'd just be like all of these cast hands or faces or, bats or something.
Amazing scenes. Well, there we go.
Amazing.
Now, do we have a scummy mummy confession, do we think?
So many, Ellie. Let's start with Emma.
Oh, wow. Okay, so my scummy confession is from when my daughter Frieda was at nursery. And she was at this lovely nursery in Brixton, which was run by all these older Jamaican auntie ladies who were lovely and very, very direct. And I came in one day and it was really hot and all the kids were eating icy poles. And they're those icy poles you get from like Tesco or whatever and they come in the white packets and they're all sitting there eating those. And I said, oh, you're having an icy pole. And all the ladies start like laughing and like elbowing each other and looking at me. And I was like, oh, okay, I don't know what's happening here. And then one of them goes, oh, Frida told us what you do with the icy poles.
What?
Hang on,
what?
I was like, what? She goes, oh, yeah, yeah, she told us that you you put them up, you whoop, whoop.
What? Do you?
I mean.
I mean, it took me a moment, and then I realised Frida thinks Tampax, the packets for Tampax,
oh, no.
And icy poles, it was the same thing.
Oh, God.
Because she calls them Gina sweeties, because when we go into the loos, she's like, oh, I want a Gina sweetie for my Gina. I'm like, no, you can't have a Gina sweetie.
Wow.
Yeah. And there I was, just standing there with all these ladies just looking at me. And I thought,
wow. Why did I have children?
Where do you go from there?
I don't know.
Now you say it's been a very hot day. It's not the worst idea I've ever heard, to be quite honest.
My friend said after you have a baby, you know the ones you get from the off license in the plastic packet,
often
blue. Don't open it, but after you have a baby, maybe put one near your flange, to you know, help the labia. They call them Zupa Dupas in Australia. That's what they call them.
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
or funny faces. They've got funny faces on them.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Oh.
We haven't even mentioned we're Australian yet, Elliot. It's been hurting me, but Emma is from Australia.
I'm from Australia.
So that's a great story, guys. Thanks so much for coming.
We share a complex and fabulous culture.
I mean, it's a culture. It's kind of a culture.
Yeah. Yeah. Harold Bishop and Crocodile Dundee. That's basically, well done.
Carly and Dame
Edna. And, of course, colonialism. So, well done, guys.
Which was brought by the British. I always find it really funny. Like, we're just a product of the bad British people.
Oh, listen. But this is the thing. I'm not proud of my country. I don't go around going, you're British, I'm British, isn't it brilliant, like Australians
you
do.
Would if you were in Melbourne right now, that's exactly what you'd be doing.
Well, I wouldn't go to Melbourne, you see, because it's full of Australians. So why would I go there?
I'm trying, Melbourne, I'm trying. You keep asking, when is Ellie coming? And I'm like, maybe.
Not today, Satan, not today. Too hot. All right.
There we go.
Oh, well, there we go. Have you got a confession for us, Helen Thorne?
Oh, Ellie, everything's a disaster. So I a couple of episodes, or a couple of years ago, actually, I should say, we had Cherry Healy on the podcast, and we did a funny fanny thing where I produced different fanny-related objects as a game. And one of them was a Femme Fresh can. And I thought that was a funny thing to... I don't even know what I was doing. I don't even know what I'm saying. Anyway, it's been knocking about in my house. And then I got it out the other day. And
when
you say
can, you mean like an aerosol to spray your...
Yeah, apparently veg. So. We don't condone it, we don't support it on the podcast.
Yeah, she didn't buy it for personal use.
For some reason, it just keeps appearing in my house. Like, I put it around.
Just throw it away.
Then I put it in a basket, and then like my mum was there, and then she looked at it, and I looked at it, and I was like, this Femme Fresh is not mine. And then the cleaner's been in, everyone thinks I've got a smelly fanny, and I'm spraying it, but I'm not because I'm a feminist, but it's just there all the time.
You just put it in the bin, mate.
I did, but the bin hasn't been emptied yet because the cleaner hasn't been. And then she's going to see it. Or I could just put it in the big bin myself. But I'm lazy.
I'm willing to take it off your hands at this point. Just to put you out.
Don't buy Femme Fresh. Don't buy it. It's embarrassing and it's not good for anybody.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And certainly don't buy one and then leave it in your house for 4 or 5 years.
This is my anxiety this week, listener, is that my parents-in-law are coming to stay for the entire month of August because I'm going to Edinburgh. And so I am doing a bit of a supermarket sweep of anything incriminating in my house that I've sort of forgotten about, like the Femme Fresh. They probably will judge. And now I'm a bit paranoid. So I've got to go around with new eyes going, what will they think of me?
Yeah.
I think it's very late for that. It's been 20 years, mate.
Also, they're Australian.
Ellie Gibson.
My confession is, so today was a slightly emotional day. So my son Joe is starting school in September.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, you and I are fucking off to Edinburgh. And of course, Charlie's school breaks up. Anyway, to cut the admin short, today was like the last day I've had with Joe, just the two of us, with like no childcare and no... Charlie and no, you know, and I thought, and I did this with Charlie actually, I said to him, you know, what do you want to do? I thought, I'll make this day like sort of special, but I just want it to be whatever he wants to do. Like, what's his number one ideal day? And we talked about it, and, you know, what should we do? And did we go to the Science Museum? No. Did we go to London Transport? Any of the many attractions London has to offer?
Yes.
Or the beach, perhaps? No.
A plethora of cultural activities, really. Yes.
No, what we did was we went to the Bromley Glades Shopping Centre.
Oh, bless him.
Which is one of our favourite places on earth.
Nice.
And we also do the same thing. We park on the top level of the car of the multi-storey. We go across the bridge, look at the cars. Then we go to the GUP, which is an Octonauts ride-on vehicle.
Oh, nice.
And I just plug in all the coins I've found in the house and just let them go on the Octonauts machine again and again. And then we went to the toy shop and bought a Paw Patrol toy. And then we went, of course we did, to McDonald's.
Nice.
Even though he had, and this is the really scummy bit, he had a McDonald's 24 hours previously because I was too hungover and Pete was too hungover to cook him any proper lunch because he had a party.
Dave, that was really nice.
I tried to talk him into Carluccio's. I put Nando's out there. I was like, where do you want to go? And he just kept saying McDonald's. And I was like, at the end of the day, it's your special fucking day, son.
Yeah.
You can have two McDonald's all the nuggets. 24 hours.
Yeah.
So,
I love that you attempted to talk a four-year-old into Carluccio's.
Well, the spaghetti and meatballs. He loves spaghetti and meatballs. So that, I didn't say. Now, I know Antonio sold the brand in 2015, but they still have a very, very strong wine list. It wasn't like that. But yes, but also in Bromley-related, my son Joe-related news.
This is a bombshell, people.
So many, many years ago, Emma, and new listeners, we were in... one of the first times we ever got recognised, I was in Bromley Clark's, the shoe shop.
Yeah.
And this woman came up to me and she was very nice and she was like, oh, yeah, I listened to your podcast and whatever. And we were really overexcited, weren't we?
Yeah.
That didn't happen to us back then.
Mm. I mean, it happens all the time.
Tremendously. And so cool. And she was just lovely. And then we started giving her little funny shout outs on the podcast saying Bromley Clark's lady. And I still don't know her name.
Didn't she come up to you and say, are you a scummy mummy?
Yes,
and
that's
you went,
right.
You, are you a scummy mummy?
Yes.
And then the lovely thing was, is that we were chatting one day and her husband, Bromley Clark's husband, came up to her and went, are you the scummy mummies? And we're like, yeah. He's like, well, I'm Bromley Clark's husband. We're like, Bromley Clark's lady. And we have been told her actual name, but she will forever be known as Bromley Clark's lady.
Oh, that's nice.
So we had Joe's settling in day at school, the other way you go and, you know, they get to see their classroom. And afterwards we got a message from Bromley Clark's lady saying, hi, I don't think you recognise me, and I couldn't say hello to you because a bird had just shat all over me and my newborn baby, and I was trying to deal with it. But I'm Bromley Clark's lady, and my son is going to be in your son's class. Together again at last. And I wrote back and I said, that's wonderful. I never want to know your name. You're always going to be Bromley Clark's. Maybe BLC for sure.
Yes.
BLC. Yes. Yeah. So hello, Bromley Clark's lady. I cannot wait to see you Monday to Friday, twice a day from September. Morning, Bromley Clark's lady. Morning, scummy mummy. It's going to be magical.
It's meant to be, Ellie. It's meant to be.
I think so. It's made me feel a bit better about him starting school because I know there's someone in his class who is also a scumbag. At least.
Yeah.
And don't know the name of.
Don't care. Because Emma and I have both gone through the second, the last child going to school.
Yes.
And it's full on. It is really full on. It's a weird...
It really surprised me. I was like, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, it's cool, whatever. She goes to nursery, it's fine. And then as soon as I dropped her off, I sat down on my bed and I cried. It just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I went back to an empty, silent house.
Yeah.
There was no sticky hand in my hand. Mm. And I sobbed. Like... audible sob, not just like the just something in my eye, no, properly.
There's some sort of weird release, isn't there?
Yeah. And then the next day you're fine.
Yeah, you're
but
fine.
It is a big thing. So if anyone else is going through it, take your tissues. It's a big thing.
So yes, we've done craft, we've done back to school, we've done pornography. I mean, I feel like we've covered all the bases.
Yes, working with husbands. I mean, it's been lovely, Emma Scott Child.
Yes.
If that is your real name.
Cool. So your book, Quick Crafts for Parents Who Think They Hate Craft, is out now.
It's out now, yes.
Lovely. And we're in Edinburgh, probably as this is going out, aren't
we? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so come and see our show. Also, Ellie, our autumn tour, would you believe, is nearly sold out.
Oh my, has it?
I'm saying that in the future. No, we've been selling out. We sold out Bristol, so we had to add another date. We sold out.
That is true. I can confirm that, listener. That's factually correct.
Farnham, we sold out.
Factually correct.
Yeah. Anyway, but you can get tickets from scummymummies.com. And where can people find you, Emma Scottchild?
I will be on the gram at Emma_Scottchild.
Emma_Scottchild. Yes, lovely.
I'm just doing my thing, just talking about craft and creativity and kid wrangling and stuff. And yeah, and I also have a website called thisisladyland.com, which has all sorts of craft and interiors and sort of blogging kind of stuff.
Marvellous.
Good times. Well, there we go.
Good. Well, please rate, review and subscribe to our podcast. Tell your friends about our shows. And hopefully we'll be going to a town near you if you live in England.
or Scotland.
Definitely not Melbourne.
This must end, Ellie.
It must end. Thank you so much, Emma.
Thank you so much for having me. I've had such a lovely time.
Aww. You're a lovely person.
Yeah. I'm glad you didn't just go, yeah, because you're a cunt.
all right. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time. Bye.
So where can people get your amazing book, Emma?
They can get it from bookshops.
Why do you always, we always
because
have to.
I like your response.
People know where to buy books.
I don't want to say Amazon because they don't pay tax, do they?
Well, all right. What do you expect the guests to say when you say where can... What do you think one day they're going to go, well, they're all buried under a hill in Somerset. You turn left at the third oak tree at sunset and you'll see it marked by a cross.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's a great book. Buy it where you buy books.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.